Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women across the globe. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry, they will always inspire you. Today it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Lydia Mutare.
Correct.
Lydia was born in Zimbabwe and has lived in the UK for 25 years now. She is passionate about developing potential in young women, especially in communities where opportunities for women are limited. She sees young women as the makers and shapers of communities and therefore believes in their power to bring and sustain change. Her background is in teaching. Lydia taught biology and home economics in a secondary school in Zimbabwe. She left teaching to pursue theological studies in the UK. This was a complete change to what she had studied, but Lydia wanted to further explore her Christian faith and other religions, as well as have time for reflection. On completion of her course, Lydia went back to Zimbabwe and was employed by the Girl Guides of Zimbabwe to run a project working with underprivileged young women in life skills development. Through this project, she was exposed to the international work of the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts in supporting women. Lydia was a Girl Guide herself and was aware of the work done at national level, but the international world was still very much a mystery. When opening to work as a regional director for the Africa region based in London came up, Lydia applied and got the post. The opportunity to work with young women in Africa and build their capacity to change their lives and the lives of people in their community was a dream come true for Lydia. She believes in the power of women to support each other in building stronger communities, and Lydia experiences personally as she grew up in a small village and girl guiding had allowed her to discover who she could be through the support and role models in guiding. Lydia is currently the Leadership and Program Development Director at Girl Guides. This is a job that has brought most satisfaction as she has witnessed the growth and development of female leaders. Wow, that's some CV. That's some background, Lydia. Thank you. I tried to take the highlights of the amazing bio that you sent me. Yes. You've had quite an amazing journey, haven't you?
I have, indeed, I have. And when I look back and I think, oh my goodness me, I could have never imagined myself when I was growing up in a secondary school in Zimbabwe, in a mission school, thinking that I would be up here, I would be working in an international organization that I was part of as a young woman, and actually enabling other young women and enabling other women to develop their potential. And I never thought about that.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
What we can achieve if we have faith.
Yes.
Faith in whatever that outside faith may be,
yes,
whether it's religious faith or universal faith, and also faith in ourselves.
Yes.
Is that something that you believe the Girl Guides Association gives young women, that faith in themselves?
Yes, confidence, self-confidence, building self-esteem. I think those are the really key things that we give in Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting. Because when we're working with brownies who are the youngest and even older girls or older young women, we allow them to develop at their own pace.
Right.
We allow them, we give them the space.
Right.
And we help them, we coach them, we mentor them. And all across the world, you will see many leaders who are working with girls, and the girls and young women look up to them as role models.
Mm.
And there's something also that's very, it's very interesting that I experienced when I was growing up, that there was a really good intergenerational relationship with the leader and the young person.
Right.
And that really was something that was very special, because the leader was here saying, actually, we can work together. You've got ideas, I've got ideas, but we can build our ideas together and actually create something.
Mm.
And I can tell you, I have met some amazing women in Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting.
Okay.
Women who have given time, skills, energy to develop other women.
Mm.
And I sit here and I think, my goodness me, what power is that?
Mm.
That can actually be energized and bring all those synergies together and actually provide opportunities for young women.
It's incredible, isn't it, that women supporting women. Once you get that working really, really well, it's a global force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
And we see, particularly in the Western world, this is my view, that we see a lot of disenfranchised young people of both genders who don't have a purpose, who don't have that self-esteem and self-belief instilled in them at a young age. In fact, they quite often have the opposite message projected onto them, and they lose their way really, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Girl Guides and Girl Scouts Association do to reach out and find those young people?
I think what we're doing at the moment is to try and be more trendy, if I could use that word, or more cool, if I can use that word. And in the countries that, Western countries that, you know, maybe young people, boys and girls, have got a lot of other things that are on their mind, or they've got a lot of other opportunities, is to really tap that the activities that are cool. And maybe to go back to our values. And I think this is something that is really key within Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting. The values that we offer, the values that young people can share with each other. And when you're grounded in values, you know, sometimes, yes, we get lost in this, you know, technological world, in this world that's changing so much. We get lost, all of us get lost. But if we have people who can help us to bring back to our values, we found that really, really helpful. And also to help them explore their own values as individuals, and to say, where do they want to go? What do they want to achieve? And support them in that. And I think the issue of young people kind of finding themselves is also all over the world. But I think in the developing world, the communities are still a little bit together. And therefore, you've got extended families that support you. You've got aunties and uncles that are still supporting you. But I can tell you that this is not as rooted as it was when I grew up because of the technology.
So you've noticed the change?
I have noticed the change. Yeah. But I know that when you're growing in a community in Africa, in a rural area, your opportunities of connecting with others on the internet are not as much as if you grow up in the cities.
Cool.
And therefore, Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting in the cities, in the rural areas, becomes more important because you've got something that you can go to every other week or every week and connect with other young women and connect with other older people or adults who are prepared to help you. And you can find friendship, you can learn skills, life skills, and you can begin to broaden your mind and think bigger and wider. My first experience going out of the country was, I was teaching, and I probably was about 2021 or something like that, and I was given the opportunity to go to Botswana, which is near to Zimbabwe, and I had never been out of the country. And that was an eye-opener. That was an eye-opener, and I had to present a paper on young people in unemployment.
Gosh.
You know, to people from all over Africa. It was amazing.
Gosh, what an experience at such a young age.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it gives those opportunities. And I know that, you know, somebody can say, yeah, but not all young people have the opportunity to go overseas. But no, the opportunities that are given within the country, within your own member organization, and within the community that you are in. I know a lot of young people are doing community projects that change lives of their own communities. Through Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting.
Yeah.
You know, and that is absolutely fundamental to the life of the community.
It is, it is. Just one thing that struck me, if you're talking, because I know you do a lot around self-belief, self-confidence, and leadership for young women, and you're global, the organization is global, if you are taking young women in more developing countries and cultures through this leadership program, how do you manage their expectations where the culture of the country in which they live may not support the skills that they have acquired? So there may not be the opportunity for women to actually do something in their country with leadership skills because the culture is to keep women back. How do you manage those expectations?
That's a real challenge for us. But I think what we do is that we sow a seed.
Right.
And the seed is there. You might not have the proper climate or conditions to make it grow at that particular time, but at some point that seed is going to germinate and that seed is going to grow.
Yeah.
And we believe that, I mean, the world is becoming a very small place.
It is.
And therefore, you know, women, young women are becoming quite vocal in probably different ways. So if you are in a situation where you cannot actually overtly display your leadership skills, but there are ways that you can do.
Okay.
There are ways that are subtle ways that you can do. And you can begin to have a more positive attitude about what you are able to change. And then work on what you're able to change.
Good point.
Rather than I can change the whole world. Because we've also found that even in countries where women have got all the rights, when they go back to their own communities, sometimes they're not accepted.
That's very true.
You know, so it's just giving the young women the opportunity to realize that actually, once you've got those skills, they're your skills. You can use them at any time. But you have to judge which is the right time to use them.
Yeah.
And this is part of also leadership.
Of course it is.
Exactly.
And it's giving the young women transferable skills.
Correct.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be applied within the working environment. It can be applied in their life environment. And also, I guess, would you agree that doing this work with sufficient groups of young women in developing countries, you're helping to create that strong voice that will actually facilitate the change?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Indeed, absolutely. Because the change is not probably just getting a high position. The change is also enabling others to bring change.
Yeah.
So when they go and do community projects, they're taking leadership in that area and supporting other women to change their lives. And they're giving other women some skills as well. So for us, that's part of the leadership. Because we don't believe that leadership is just, you have to be at the top.
No, and it's not necessarily a global corporate company, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, leadership has many different faces.
Exactly,
Yeah.
And we've also found that, I mean, when we've had events that we have run, you know, seminars that we've run, our seminars are very practical. We talk of theory, but also we talk a lot about practice. So, for example, we would go into a community and work with the community and see the project that they're doing as part of the seminar. And then we come back and we debrief on that. We look at what leadership styles were being used there. How can you take some of that learning back to your own home?
Right.
Whether you're coming from UK or you're from Australia or from the US or from Malawi, there's something that you learn.
Yeah.
If you're UK and you go to a village in Malawi, you learn about this resilience of women.
Absolutely.
And how they change their communities with very little.
Yeah, I think actually my view is that women in developing countries and in rural communities in the developing world can actually teach Western women far more about leadership than we can teach them.
Yes, because they have to go through a lot to be able to.
They really, really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and women are the key to turning those communities around, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Incredibly powerful.
Yeah, very powerful. Incredibly powerful. Yes.
So an amazing story.
Yes.
Coming to the UK 25 to study years ago to study theology.
Yes. Yes.
Was your intention to do something professionally with that, or was it just out of interest?
A bit of both.
Okay.
Do something about that, but see whether there were opportunities that I would work with organizations that were supporting young people in their development, because I was, you know, from a teaching background. But really, I wanted to give myself a break, and look at other opportunities that were out there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
But you stuck with the Girl Guides.
I stuck with the Girl Guides, yeah. And this was not by plan, actually.
Okay.
It, honestly, it's incredible, honestly. It's like I was working on this project. I went back to Zimbabwe, and I thought, while I'm waiting for something to do, looking for something to do, what can I do? And the Girl Guides wanted somebody to do the project they were running. I said, okay, I'll come. I was a member of the Girl Guide, and appreciated that because I know what guiding means to a lot of people who joined the movement. And I worked with them, and lo and behold, this opportunity came to come and be regional director for all the countries in Africa. And I thought, yeah, 2 years, I'll just go for 2 years. and you know, and the learning I've had, I mean, yeah. I did not know Africa. Now I know Africa.
Wow.
And I appreciate Africa better than I've ever done really? In my life, because really? I was exposed and managed to travel in a lot of the African countries. And actually work with the women there, and who I know work under very difficult conditions, but my goodness me, the courage, the motivation, and just wanting to make things happen with very little. I was absolutely humbled.
Very inspiring.
Ah, and inspired, exactly.
The women creating some serious ripples,
yes,
I think.
Absolutely. And you know, and absolutely. And then decided, I stayed, I mean, I think I was there, I worked in the Africa region for 8 years.
Did you?
Yeah. Gosh. And connected with the French-speaking African countries.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very different way
very
of doing
different.
Things. So learned a lot, and learned to really, really respect those African women. Really, really respect. Yeah. And a lot of it then came back into my head about my mother, my aunties, and how they'd done things and how we'd done things. But I never had actually opportunity to think about that because I was in the situation. But yeah, it's been an amazing, and then the opportunity to work worldwide and to meet women from across the world who are giving their time and energy to support younger women in their volunteer work with guiding. Amazing. Really, really amazing. And learned a lot. And learned some of the women who have got absolute wonderful skills they're bringing into the organization. Some of them who have really got that critical way of thinking and seeing how we can support women, other women, younger women within the organization. And just, I don't know, million of volunteers supporting the organization and supporting leadership in different ways. That's been amazing.
It's a phenomenal organization,
it is.
Isn't it?
Oh, my goodness me.
It's just incredible.
It is.
I have to put my hand up to being ignorant about the history.
Yes.
Of the Girl Guides. When did it start and how did it start?
Right. It started with Lord Baden-Powell in 1907.
Okay.
Right. So he was in South Africa.
Just over 100 years old.
Yeah. And he started to see how he could mobilize young people and make them do something, build character, and make them support their communities and work within their communities. And he started the first group there that was South Africa, and then he came over to the UK and started a group for boys only.
Yeah.
And then he married Olive, and you know, they started talking about doing something for women or for girls. It was for girls. And then, you know, Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting was born then. And a lot of countries that had connections with the United Kingdom as part of the colonial system started having guiding, and also the countries that were not part of the Commonwealth started having guiding, and it just spread. Yeah, it just spread like that. Incredible.
I mean, in 100 years sounds like a long time, but actually it isn't.
No, it's not.
So, you know, to go from an idea to support boys.
Yeah, to an idea that is...
To a global organisation that impacts millions in 100 years is quite phenomenal.
It is.
Well, most of it is voluntary.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show, actually, when you really get down to the core of humanity, it's good.
It is. Absolutely.
It is good. And we get projected onto us, don't we?
Yes.
Bad news sells.
Yes.
So we get projected onto us the bad aspect of humanity.
Exactly.
And it's really dangerous because we can start to believe that that's the norm. But actually, you pull back the layers and the norm is always good.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And Guiding Girl Scouting is in 146 countries.
Wow, 146 countries.
Yes, and across the globe.
Yeah.
Across the globe. Across the globe, yes.
In every continent.
In every continent.
Yeah.
I have had wonderful times working with young women and women from the Arab region, really talking about leadership development. I have had wonderful times working with women in the Asia Pacific region. I have amazing time with people from the Caribbean and some of the Latin American countries. And it's just amazing. You put a group of women together and, you know, you help them to support each other. It's incredible.
Magic happens, I think.
Yes.
When women with a common purpose get together, magic happens. And it kind of reminds me a bit of, you know, if you kind of go back to our ancestors and talking around the fire and making bread. You know, when you get a group of women around a fire creating food and sharing food and sharing stories. And really, that still happens. It just happens in a different way.
In a different way. It happens in Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting when we have campfire.
Yeah, so it still actually happens around the fire.
Cooking food on the open fire. Yes,
so that core of what brings us all together as human beings actually just never changes, does it?
No.
Really powerful.
No, very powerful.
Really powerful.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Fascinating.
And with Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting, as a person, you know, as a member of that, you can explore different things.
Mm.
Because I think we are offering a variety of programs.
Right.
Across. I mean, we've got leadership, which I am responsible for, and I've been working through that. And we've done quite a lot of leadership and seen really, really positive results. But we're offering also what we call Stop the Violence campaign and training young women to be really very aware of violence and saying no to violence and helping their other women to say no to violence and working with boys and men to say no to violence. So we've got that program as well. We've got another program called Free Being Me, where we have
called
Free Being Me.
Free Being Me.
Yeah. And it's a program that promotes self-esteem, self-image, and really beginning to say, you know, I embrace who I am, I embrace what I am, and I want to be the best of what I can be, you know. So there's a lot of things that we're doing. We've got programs on environment. Exactly. We connect very much with the local and international issues. For example, the Sustainable Development Goals, we are in there. Mm. And, you know, we've been working on the MDGs quite a lot in our member organization. So we make women aware of the issues, international issues, local issues, and ask them to take action on those issues.
Mm. That's phenomenal.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
And you have a world conference.
We have a world
conference. Is that annual?
No, it happens every 3 years.
Every 3 years?
Yes, it happens every 3 years.
That must be incredible. How many people do you have attending the world conference?
We have about maybe between 500 and 600 people. We limit the attendance.
Oh.
We limit the attendance, and according to the membership you have.
I see.
Yeah. So the decision makers are the people that come to the conferences, because the conference is a decision making.
I was going to say otherwise it could get out of hand.
Exactly.
Where do you put all those people?
Exactly,
if they all wanted to come.
Exactly. But still, it's an amazing. Oh, it's amazing because at the World Conference, you are bringing a diverse group of people and looking back at what has been done around, you know, and thinking, you know, towards the future, what needs to be done. And just, you know, the connections, the partnerships that are there, you know, and friendships that are formed, and these go back a long way and they can go on forever and ever. I've got people I met when I started guiding and I'm still friends with them.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And is it an interfaith organization? So
is it
open
an interfaith
to
organization?
All faiths, all beliefs?
Exactly.
No faith.
It's
doesn't
open,
matter.
It's
so
open. It's
fully
people.
Inclusive.
Yeah, it's very inclusive.
And particularly in today's climate, that's really, really important.
It is important. It gives opportunity for people to explore.
right.
their faith and to see where they can do, because I think we look at the development of a human being in different aspects. There's the physical, spiritual, intellectual, emotional, social, and all that is part of the development. So the spiritual is part of the development that we encourage people to explore as well.
So it's really important. I mean, some of the things that are coming up around the areas of diversity. I mean, diversity has always been there, but some of the key ones are religion, and that's a really big one at the moment because of the state the world is in at the moment around religion, religious intolerance, which is huge and awful.
It is terrible.
The other one is around sexual orientation. What is the stance of the Girl Guides on that?
I mean, for sexual orientation, I can't personally say, because we operate in a wide, but we would want to think that people are open and accept people as they are.
Okay, so it's fully inclusive.
It
allows a human being to develop in whatever way it's right for them at any stage. Which is a really, really good message, isn't it?
Yeah.
To give out to the world.
Exactly.
Incredible. So you've been with the Girl Guides for how many years now? Working. Not obviously you were involved as a child, but actually being employed by them. How many years?
I've been employed by the World Association of Girl Guides and Girl Scouts. This will be my 30th year.
Good grief, you don't look old enough. You were a teenager? Wow, 30 years.
Yeah.
That's a lifetime, Lydia.
It is a lifetime. I came when I was young. So it is a lifetime.
So things are changing within the Girl Guides. And things are changing for you.
Things are changing for me.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm thinking of moving on.
Right.
And exploring other opportunities. At the moment, I'm not sure yet what exactly. But I believe there's space, room, and I'm motivated to think of the future and see what I can do. But my passion still remains. I would very much like to continue to support the leadership development, the growth of women, young women, wherever that may be.
Do you feel a pull to maybe go back and explore more of your theological training and background and do something that route rather than the Girl Guides route?
I don't know at the moment whether I would, you know, sort of limit myself at the moment to that. But what I know is that I want to work with people and I want to be able to facilitate the learning of others in a different ways. I'm very, very passionate about opportunities in developing countries, especially in Africa, for women. I'm very passionate about that because I was given an opportunity and, you know, here I am. So I'm very passionate about that. So my faith is something that I would like it to be active and working, but not limiting it only to that, but I could use, you know,
but it underpins who you are.
Exactly.
I mean, go back to Africa. It's a huge continent.
It is.
With a lot of countries. How many countries are there in Africa?
Gosh, don't ask me.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of countries. Because in guiding, when we're working with Africa, with Africa south of the Sahara.
Oh.
Yeah, so we are not...
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
So not the whole continent.
Not the whole continent.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's Africa south of the Sahara.
Why
because
that?
Then when you have got the countries like Egypt, Libya, they belong to the Arab, because their language is mostly Arab and the traditions.
Okay, so North Africa comes under the Middle East.
Under the Middle East, that's correct. That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
So as far as the Girl Guarding is concerned, there's a split.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with the countries that you've visited within that context of the African continent, have you witnessed a difference in the culture and the growth of women in the different African countries?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes. I mean, you've had people like Wangari Maathai. I mean, she was Kenyan.
Right.
And she's the lady who was spearheading the Green Belt.
Mm-hmm.
amazing woman. I mean, she's late now, but she was an amazing woman who had a real vision for the environment and started small, but really made an impact in that, not only in Kenya, she's Kenyan, but in the whole world. Isn't amazing? I mean, there are a lot of other untold and sung heroes in Africa, women heroes in Africa, who have changed a lot of how people live in their own communities. Mm-hmm. And obviously the others who have taken political positions and are changing the continent. So there's a lot of people, in women in Africa, who are changing the way people live, who are changing the way villages operate and bringing positive energy into their own communities. And the problem is, if you start naming one, then you have to name everybody, but I'll stop with one guy in Mathare. Yeah. And the others, I'd say there are really, really a lot of women out there doing a lot of wonderful work.
It's incredible. Are there countries within Africa that are more challenging than others?
I mean, you will find countries that are challenging. They're challenging because the resources are probably maybe not used properly.
Right.
They're challenging because there's political turmoil.
Right.
It's challenging because the infrastructure is not good. It's challenging because not a lot of people have opportunities to go to school. Yeah. So there are different kind of challenges you find in different countries.
Sure.
There are challenges in Africa, but the potential is enormous.
And when you think of some of the turmoil that has been in African countries recently with civil wars and you know, terrorism, I mean, especially the awful things that happened in northern Nigeria last year with schoolgirls going missing, and you have FGM as a big issue throughout Africa.
That's correct.
How does the Girl Guiding Movement equip young women to cope under such challenging conditions?
That's hard.
Yeah.
What we hope that is that the potential we develop in them would build their confidence. Mm. And when challenges come, they're in a situation where they can still hold on to their self-esteem and self-belief.
Mm.
It's not easy.
No.
And it's, you know, I cannot say much on that. It's not easy.
No.
Because it's easier when you're sitting here in a chair and in a comfortable position and you can say, you can do that. But it is really challenging.
Incredibly challenging.
Incredibly challenging. But I guess, you know, you sort of say, moving forward, how can we support these young women more? Give them opportunity. Give them some education that will help them to see, to look at life and challenges from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And if we can give them resources to be able to develop whatever potential they have, then that will change their lives.
Mm.
We're not saying challenges will not be there. Challenges always be there. But it depends how we look at challenges.
Absolutely. It's our reaction. Exactly. To a degree, it's our reaction, isn't it?
To challenges, yes.
And it's looking at that locus of control, that we actually have far more control and power than we actually think we do.
We do, exactly.
And it's really easy to let that power go sometimes in challenging situations, isn't it?
Exactly.
And to believe that we don't have any.
We don't have any power,
Does the Girl Guide movement ever see itself in the role of being able to lobby governments for change, or does it stay politically neutral?
It depends from country to country.
Right.
And in some countries, actually, the Girl Guides are their point of reference.
Okay.
In terms of when they're working on youth policies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's opportunity for that. But we encourage member organizations to connect with their governments because we believe that they are a force for good and they're working with the makers, the shapers and makers of community. Mm-hmm. So, it is important. And a national organization obviously has got to be able to operate within their own countries.
Yeah.
So they have to have connections with governments. And in a lot of countries, the Girl Guides work with governments to implement projects that change lives.
Right.
So there is a connection there in there.
That's really good to hear that there's a strong connection.
Yeah. Some of the member organizations are put under, say, Minister of Youth. Or Minister of Education, or some other.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Or under civil society,
right?
You know, so there's always a connection.
There's a connection.
With government.
That's good.
They're not party politics.
No,
but they support. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good to hear because we're such an amazing worldwide force.
Yes.
And of course, it's not just girls; it's boys as well with the Boy Scouts.
Yes, that's correct.
So collectively. The whole movement is incredibly powerful, isn't it? So the potential to create and facilitate change globally and locally within governments is huge.
It is huge.
Not to waste that resource of talent and values, actually, yes. Core values.
Yes, absolutely.
Which are sadly lacking in many governments around the world.
Well.
Allegedly.
Around the world, that's true. Yeah. It's a
tricky business.
It is very tricky.
Do girl guides from the different countries have the opportunity, as being a member of the girl guides, to visit other countries?
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of what we call twinning or partnerships that go ahead. There are a lot of international events that are organized.
Right.
So you have international events where they have an international camp. And there's a lot of exchange going on all the time. And then sometimes they create projects. So young people from Western countries go to African countries or to Asian countries to work on a project and vice versa. So the African countries can come into the Western world to work on different projects. So this is always going on.
That's amazing.
And then we've got a program, what we call World Thinking Day, where we have got activities and we promote international connections. It's our day within Girl Guiding where we promote international understanding, international connection, and we have opportunity to create activities that promote international understanding.
Amazing.
Yes.
It sounds to me that if all the world governments were run by girl guides and girl and boy scouts, we wouldn't have many problems in the world.
Well, we'd get a few because we're still human in a way.
But they may be vastly reduced.
I think so. I would like to think that.
Yeah, maybe we'd start a movement that governments can only have, MPs can only be girl guides and girl scouts.
And there are MPs and who have been in the girl guides and scouts as well. Yeah.
Because it's easy, isn't it, as you go through life, for some people to allow their core values to be taken off track from values and to get corrupted, because there is an awful lot of pressure on human beings, isn't there?
There is a lot of pressure.
To keep along that path.
Yes. That's why in Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting, we're really very keen on core values, values. And in our leadership, when we do leadership, one of the pinning, we've got four pinning elements. Mm. One is values, mm-hmm. The other one is intergenerational, the other one is intercultural, and the other one is non-formal learning. So those are really key for us.
Yeah, amazing. So let's fast forward in Lydia's life, 18 months time, so end of 2017, what are you doing?
I would like to think that I'm working with women, maybe across the world. I am sharing my experience, the experience that I've had in Girl Guiding, Girl Scouting. I am creating synergies with other organizations.
Right.
And I am also opening opportunities for other women.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. What opportunities there are, I don't know, but I believe the world is full of opportunities.
Yes. Yes. And actually, that is a great way to end because it's about being awake and aware to those opportunities.
Yes.
And actually, a lot of people go through life asleep rather than awake and unaware rather than aware.
Yeah.
And if we only open our eyes, our minds and our hearts
exactly.
to opportunities, actually, we can achieve anything, can't we?
Yeah, we can.
And you are living proof. You know, when you think of you say from Zimbabwe, where you came from, from a small community, to now being the global director of programs for an amazing organization, who knows what's in store for you?
Because currently I am the leadership and program development director. I mean, you know, so I'm really pleased of the work that we've done within WACS, within Girl Guiding, and the opportunities that we have given women, young women, to develop their leadership. And I would like to believe that as the organization is moving on and is doing other things, it will be in a position to offer even more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we need to offer more girls, more women, more of whatever we are doing, so that actually we can leave this world a better world.
Yeah.
And we can actually look back and say, girl guiding changes lives.
Yeah, it does change lives.
Yeah.
What I would like is that the world is awake and aware to Lydia.
Thank you.
And it recognizes what you can give.
Thank you. But there's a lot of other women who have gone before me and who will come before me who will give even more.
Yeah. And don't limit yourself. So just accept actually that you are creating some huge ripples.
Literally. Thank you. I will accept that.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
On that note, we will end. Thank you. It's been an absolute joy, Lydia.
Lovely.
Thank you so
it's been
much.
Lovely talking to you.